kidnapped Santa. Santa Claus lived in the Laughing Valley, in a big castle where his toys were manufactured. His workmen and workwomen were fairies and elves, and they lived with him. Everyone was as busy as can be all the time from one year to the next. They call it the Laughing Valley because everyone there is happy and merry. There is a spirit of energy of the place that makes all things sound positive and happy. Water in the brook chuckles to itself as it rolls over the rocks and on its green banks. The wind whispers sweetly in the trees, the sunbeams dance lightly over the soft grass, and the roses and other wildflowers shine brightly and smell fragrant. To laugh, one needs to be happy, and to be happy, one needs to be content. Throughout the Laughing Valley of Santa Claus, contentment reigns supreme. To the east of this land is the mighty forest of Burzee, and to the west a huge granite rock mountain range sits. Inside the granite rocks of the mountains lies the caves of the demons. The Laughing Valley, smiling and peaceful, is between the Rocky Mountains and the forest. One would think that good old Santa Claus, who devotes his days to making the world happy, would have no enemies on earth at all. And, as a matter of fact, for a long period of time he encountered nothing but love wherever he went. But the demons who live in the mountain caves grew to hate Santa Claus, all because he was happy and wanted to make everyone else around him happy. The demons were grumpy, angry, jealous creatures. If they could spread a little misery, they might feel satisfied for a brief moment, but never happy. There were 5 caves in the mountains where the demons lived. In each cave lived a demon that was an expert in some bad thing. A broad rocky path led up to the first cave, which had a finely arched cavern at the foot of the mountain. The entrance was beautifully carved with polished rock. The demon of selfishness lived in this cave. Behind the first cave was a hall of stone that opened up into another cave inhabited by the demon of envy. The cave of the demon of hatred was next, and through this cave arrived the cave of the demon of malice. This cave was dark and fearful, and was located in the very heart of the mountain. No one knows what lies beyond this cave, but some say there are terrible spells and traps set by the demons. From each one of the first 4 caves, there was a small narrow tunnel leading to the 5th cave. This was a cozy little cave occupied by the demon of repentance. All the passages to this cave were lined with well-worn rocky floors. Many wanderers in the caves of the demons escaped through the cave of the demon of repentance. He was a pleasant sort of fellow who would gladly allow you through his cave and out the door to the fresh air and sunshine once again. It was cold outside, and the first snow of winter had caused all the cave demons to stay inside the mountain. They were sharing a bottle of tequila and starting to get some wild thoughts on life in general, but mostly about this Santa character who was so close. The demon of repentance drank a soda water and watched the other 4. He chuckled at their antics. They all started shouting that this old Santa Claus, who lived down in the valley with all his friends and always seemed so darn happy, needed to join them in some foul deeds. The demon of repentance made some tea instead. "This business of Christmas really has me frustrated," said the demon of selfishness. "Santa Claus gives so many gifts to everyone, and then they are all happy and generous. No one comes to visit me in my selfish cave this time of year." "I'm having the same trouble," said the demon of envy, lighting a pipe. "Everyone is quite content with Santa Claus, and my numbers are low here, in my cave. If it weren't for the internet and social media, no one would visit." "And that makes it bad for me," declared the demon of hatred. "It all starts with you, Envy. If they don't pass through the caves of selfishness and envy, no one visits me in the hate cavern." "Or to mine," added the demon of malice. "And me," said the demon of repentance. "If they don't visit your caves, they have no need to visit mine. I'm feeling as neglected as you are, but for my cause, all is not so bad." "All this because of this Santa Claus character," exclaimed the demon of envy. "He is simply ruining our business, and something must be done at once." To this, they readily agreed. but what to do was another more difficult matter to settle. They knew that Santa Claus worked all through the year at his castle in the Laughing Valley, preparing gifts for Christmas. At first, they figured they would try to tempt him into their caves, but after some shots, they plotted more terrible pitfalls that ended in destruction. The very next day, while Santa Claus was at work, surrounded by his assistants, the demon of selfishness came to him and said, "These gifts are wonderfully bright and pretty. Why don't you keep them for yourself? It's a pity to give them to these greedy people who break and destroy them so quickly." "Nonsense," cried the old graybeard, his bright eyes twinkling merrily as he turned toward the tempting demon. "The people are always thankful and generous after receiving my presents, and if I can make them happy for one day in the year, I am quite content." So the demon went back to the others, who were waiting to hear the news in their caves, and said, "I have failed. Santa Claus is not at all selfish." The following day, the demon of envy visited Santa Claus. He went right up to Santa and said, "Amazon and Apple are already making all these things that you are making. What a shame that they should interfere with your business. They make this machinery much quicker than you can make them by hand, and they sell them for profits. Meanwhile, you work your fingers to the bone and get nothing at all for your work." But Santa Claus refused to be envious of Amazon and Apple. "I can supply these things once a year, on Christmas Eve," he answered. "The people are many, and I am but one. My work is of love and kindness. I would be ashamed to profit from my gifts. I like Amazon and Apple. How else do you think I call my friends? My iPhone, of course. Also, Amazon delivers all the parts we need right to our door. I'm glad to see them prosper. They make my life so much easier." The demon of envy hung his head low and returned to the cave, defeated by Santa's open spirit. In spite of this obvious failure, the demon of hatred thought he would try to influence Santa Claus. So the next day, he entered the busy workshop and said, "Good morning, Santa. I have bad news for you." "Then run away like a good fellow," answered Santa Claus. "Bad news is something that should be kept secret and never told here in my workshop." "You cannot escape this," declared the demon. "The world is full of people who do not believe in Santa Claus. You must learn to hate them bitterly, since they have wronged you so." "Get out of my workshop with all this talk of hate," cried Santa. "There are others who resent you for making people happy, and who sneer at you and deny you and call you a fake. You would be right to hate such people, and you should get revenge on them for all their evil words." "I don't hate them," exclaimed Santa Claus positively. "These people do me no real harm. They make these speeches to like-minded people that surround them, and it goes nowhere. Poor things, I'd much rather help them any day than cause them injury." Indeed, the demons could not tempt old Santa Claus in any way. On the contrary, he was shrewd enough to see their object was to make mischief and trouble, and his cheery laughter confused the demons and proved to them their foolishness. This angered them, and they gave up playing nice and determined to use force. It was well known that no harm could come to Santa Claus while he was in the Laughing Valley. The fairies had powerful magic that protected him. But on Christmas Eve, he drove his reindeer out into the big world, carrying gifts to everyone. This was the time and the occasion when his enemies had the best chance to injure him. The demons made their evil plans and waited for the arrival of Christmas Eve. The northern lights shined brilliantly in the winter night sky, and the snow was crisp and sparkling on the ground as Santa Claus cracked his whip and sped away out of the valley into the great world beyond. The roomy sleigh was packed full of gifts. And as the reindeer dashed forward, Santa laughed and sang with joy. In all his merry life, this was the one day in the year when he was happiest. This was the day he gave gifts to everyone. Santa knew it would be a busy night for him. As he whistled and shouted and cracked his whip again, he reviewed in his mind all the towns and cities and farmhouses where he was expected, and figured that he had just enough presents to go around and make everyone happy. The reindeer knew exactly what was expected of them, and dashed along so swiftly that their feet scarcely seemed to touch the snow-covered ground. Suddenly, a strange thing happened. A rope shot through the green northern lights like a shadow, and a big net on the end settled over the arms and body of Santa Claus and drew tight. Before he could resist or even cry out, he was jerked from the seat of the sleigh, and he tumbled head over heels into a snowbank. The reindeer, not knowing, rushed forward with the load and carried it quickly out of sight and sound. Such a surprising experience confused old Santa for a moment, and when he had collected his senses, he found that the wicked demons had pulled him from the snowdrift and bound him tightly with rope. They carried the kidnapped Santa Claus away to the mountain, where they put the prisoner in a secret cave and chained him to a rocky wall so that he could not escape. "Ha ha," laughed the demons, like evil geniuses. They rubbed their hands together and said, "What will the people do now? How will they cry and stomp when they find there is nothing in their stockings and no gifts under their Christmas trees? What punishment they will receive? Now they will flock to our caves of selfishness and envy and hatred and malice. We have done a clever thing, we demons of the caves." Fortunately, this Christmas Eve, Santa Claus was not traveling alone. He had taken with him some of the best fairies in the land. Ryle, Peter, and Kilter the Pixie, and a small fairy named Whisk were his four favorite assistants. These little people were very useful in helping him to distribute his gifts, and when their master was dragged from the sleigh, they were all snugly tucked underneath the seat. They were trying to stay out of the cold northern wind. The tiny immortals knew nothing of the capture of Santa Claus until sometime after he had disappeared. But finally they missed his cheery voice, and the silence warned them that something was wrong. Little Whisk stuck out his head from underneath the seat and found Santa gone with no one to direct their flight. "Whoa," he called out, and the deer obediently slowed and stopped. Ryle, Peter, and Kilter all jumped on the seat and looked back over the track made by the sleigh, but Santa had been left, miles and miles behind. "What do we do?" asked Whisk anxiously, all the mischief gone from his tiny face by this great calamity. "We must go back at once and find our master," said Kilter, who thought and spoke with much deliberation. "No, no," exclaimed Peter, as grumpy as he could always be, he could be depended upon in an emergency. "If we delay or go back, there will not be time to get the gifts out before morning, and that would grieve Santa Claus more than anything else. It was probably those wicked creatures that have been hanging around. They must have captured him," added Kilter thoughtfully, "and their object must be to make the world unhappy. So, our first duty is to get the gifts distributed as if Santa Claus himself were present. Afterward, we can search for him and easily secure his freedom." This seemed such good and sensible advice that the others once resolved to adopt it. So Peter called to the reindeer, and the faithful animals again sprang forward and dashed over the hill and valley, through forest and plain, until they came to the houses and apartments where families were sleeping and dreaming of the gifts they would find on Christmas morning. The little immortals had a difficult task. They had assisted Santa on many of his journeys, but their master had always directed and guided them. He told them exactly what to do. Now, they were on their own and had to distribute the gifts based on their own judgment. They did not understand this business very well, and why they delivered all the presents, they surely made some mix-ups. If there were a lot more mistakes, perhaps the demons would have accomplished their evil purpose to make the children unhappy. But the little friends of the absent Santa Claus labored faithfully and intelligently to carry out their master's ideas. They made fewer errors than might be expected under such unusual circumstances. They worked as fast as possible using all possible magic to create success. The day started to break before the gifts were all distributed. For the first time in many years, the reindeer trotted back into the Laughing Valley in broad daylight. The brilliant morning sun was peeking over the edge of the forest trees, proving they were far behind their accustomed hours. They put the deer in the stable and began to plot how they were going to rescue Santa. First, they had to find out what happened to him and where he was. Whisk, the fairy, flew directly to the house of the fairy queen. She lived deep in the heart of the forest. Once there, it did not take him long to find out all about the evil demons and how they had kidnapped Santa. It was all a plot to improve the demon business by preventing happiness. The fairy queen promised her powerful assistance, and Whisk flew back to where Peter, Ryle, and Kilter waited. The four talked together and made plans to rescue their master. It is possible that Santa Claus was not as merry as usual during the night of his capture in a cave, but he had faith in what his little friends were capable of. He thought they would probably have trouble and a lot of work, but was confident they would carry out the night, as they had in all the years past. He was worried, but not too much. The demons weren't helping. They took turns one after another, taunting him with abusive words in his helpless condition. When Christmas morning dawned, the demon of malice was guarding the prisoner, and his tongue was sharper than any of the others. "The people are waking up, Santa," he cried. "They are waking up to find their stockings empty. Ho, 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 they will fight and cry and stamp their feet in anger. Our caves will be full today, Santa. Our caves are sure to be full." But to this, like the other taunts, Santa answered with nothing. He was saddened by his capture for sure, but he had confidence his fairy friends would deliver. Finding that the prisoner would not reply to his jeers, the demon of malice huffed and went away. The demon of repentance arrived to take his place. He was not as disagreeable as the others. He had gentle and refined features, and his voice was soft and pleasant in tone. "My brother demons do not trust me with you," he said as he entered the cavern. "But it is morning now, and the mischief is done. You cannot visit the people again for another year." "That is true," answered Santa almost cheerfully. "Christmas Eve is past, and for the first time in centuries, I have not visited my children." "They will all be disappointed," murmured the demon of repentance, almost regretfully. "But we can't help that now. The grief is likely to make them selfish and envious and hateful. If they come to the caves of the demons today, I will get a chance to lead some of them to my cave of repentance." "Do you repent yourself?" asked Santa Claus curiously. "Oh yes," answered the demon. "I am repenting even now since I assisted in your capture. It is too late to fix the evil that has been done. Repentance is only necessary after an evil deed, not before." "I understand," said Santa Claus. "Those who avoid evil never need to visit your cave." "As a general rule, that is true," replied the demon. "But you have done no evil, and are about to visit my cave. This is to prove that I sincerely regret my part in your capture. I'm going to allow you to escape." This greatly surprised Santa, but it was just what you might expect from the demon of repentance. The demon worked to untie the knots that bound Santa and unlock the chains that fastened him to the wall. Then, he led him through a long tunnel that opened up to the cave of repentance. "I hope you can forgive me," said the demon pleadingly. "I'm not a bad person, and I believe I will accomplish a great deal of good in the world." With this, he opened the back door that led in a flood of sunshine, and Santa Claus breathed in the fresh, crisp air gratefully. "I hold no grudge with you," Santa said to the demon in a gentle voice. "I am quite sure the world would be a dark place without you. So good morning and Merry Christmas to you." With these words, he stepped out to greet the bright morning, and a moment later he was trudging along, whistling softly to himself, on his way home to the Laughing Valley. Marching over the snow toward the mountain was Ryle, Peter, Kilter the Pixie, and Whisk. They were assembled and marching to rescue Santa from captivity and to punish the demons who had dared to take him away. They looked so bright and peaceful, but the little immortals were armed with powers that would be terrible to those causing them anger. Woe to the demons of the caves if these fairies planned vengeance on them. But walking freely through the snow to meet his loyal friends was Santa Claus himself, his white beard floating in the breeze and his bright eyes sparkling. They clustered around him and danced with happiness at his safe return. He thanked them for all this support and embraced them affectionately. "It is useless to pursue the demons," Santa told them. "They have their place in the world and can never be destroyed." They escorted Santa back to his castle and they gathered to talk of the events of the night. Whisk made himself invisible and flew through the big world to see how the people were getting along on this bright Christmas morning. By the time he returned, Peter had finished telling Santa how they had distributed the gifts. "We did very well," cried the fairy in a pleased voice. "I found little unhappiness among the people this morning, but you must not get captured again. The next time we might not be so fortunate. It was hard work." They talked about the mistakes they had made after Whisk's tour of the inspection. Santa took notes and planned to make things better next year. The wicked demons of the caves were filled with anger and gloom when they found out their Santa kidnapping resulted in nothing. Indeed, no one on that Christmas day appeared to be at all selfish, envious, or hateful. Realizing it was folly to oppose Santa on Christmas, the demons never attempted again to interfere.